We want to welcome everyone to Blog Talk Radio. Pastor John Durden is live. There will be no questions and answers. He's going to tell you what he's teaching on. I've already posted what he's teaching on. So without further ado, we're going to give you Chaplain John Durden after we get some Jamaican patois.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Ring ding 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 ding.
All right, he said, we're now getting ready into the word of ministry. Yeah, yeah. Why that? That means where are you at? God bless Chaplain John Durden for 1 hour and 58 minutes. Uninterrupted, no questions and answers. Once he says amen, it's over. You now have the mic for 1 hour and 58 minutes and 47 seconds. Chaplain John Durden.
Thank you, my brother in the Lord. Good evening, everybody. Hey. This is Brother John, the 80-year-old man. Time is going by. Well, anyway, the Lord and the Holy Spirit got me doing a session on the Holy Spirit and spiritual warfare. Let me repeat. Tonight I'm going to share about the Holy Spirit and spiritual warfare. Hope you enjoy it, and I hope you learn from it. I know I will. Because every time I study, I always learn something new. But I want to say God bless you. For those who don't know me, with respect to my education, I have 3 master's degrees. The first one I got was when I finished college as a personnel specialist. I wanted to hire people for federal position. And when I graduated and got a master's degree in personnel administration, I was hired with the federal government as a recruiter for federal employees. I did that for 30 years, hiring people for federal positions. And then, just a year before I retired, the Lord called me into the ministry, so I went to evening classes at the seminary, ITC, here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I spent 3 years there, three evening classes there. I loved the Lord, and for some reason, He wanted to use me, so here I am. I did 3 years and graduated with 2 master's degrees from seminary. One was in counseling, and the other one was in theology. And as a result of the theology degree, I became a chaplain for 20 years, 30 years as a personnel specialist, and 20 years as a hospital chaplain. That was my education and my occupation. Now I'll give you a little quick brief on salvation, how I got saved. I didn't get saved until I was about 30 years of age. I thought because I was a deacon in church and going to church almost every Sunday and tithing, I thought I was on my way to heaven. Finally, God had to bring the light to me. He sent a believer to me and says, you're not saved, John. You're just a member of that Baptist church for 30 years almost. That's what you mean. I tithe. I go to church. I read my Bible, you know, and stuff like that. He said, well, you've been doing good things, what the average Christian would do, but you're not a saved Christian. You're just a church-going Christian. That's all. And he explained it to me. He said, well, John, what you need to do, 3 things. I said, all I heard was come join the church. And then for 20 years, and when the pastor gets through saying, come join the church, he said, come on, join the church and get busy in the church. Now, you got something to do. Come on and join the church and be a member of God's family. And finally, the Lord had to tell me he didn't become a God's family. He became a member of Liberty Baptist Church family. So I said, oh, my God. So he sent a gentleman in my office one day, and he was a big-time colonel. He had on the military base, but he was a spirit-filled, Bible-believing guy. He came in and shared the word with me, and consequently, I got saved. So I didn't get saved until I was about like 30 or 32, something like that. And they've been wonderful ever since. So that's how I got saved. I thought because I was a deacon in the church for about 10, 12 years, and I sang in the men's choir, you know, and taught Sunday school sometimes. And I also was the chairman of the children's ministry. So I thought I was saved. All I was doing is doing good things, doing good Christian things. I never had accepted Christ because I never heard in all of the years that I had to accept Christ as my personal Lord. Just come join the church and get active. That's all I heard for all of the years, all those other ministers. Okay? So for the time's sake, I won't go into some more deep information about what happened after my salvation. But I just want us to go into prayer. I talked about I got three master's degrees, one in human resources, one in Christian counseling, and the other one is in theology, three master's degrees. And in my salvation, the Lord knew my heart, and I thought I was a chicken and jiving, you know. I said, Lord, I hope I go to heaven when I die. And Lord heard me. But all I heard in my little Baptist church was, come join the church. And you say, you remember God's family. The man never said, come and accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Never said that the whole time. And then sometime I heard him on his breath. He said, come join the church so you get saved. And just so happened, there's a deacon I was sitting in the front row this particular time, and I heard him say that on his breath, if we are saved at all, so help me God. That's what my pastor, who was a doctor, said under his breath. I was happened to sit in the front row when he said, come on down, join the church, get saved. And he said, if we are saved at all, I'll remember that to the day I die. But anyway, God had me to deal with him on that. And I don't want to go into that. I'm not here to teach about what the Lord told me to tell him and how he reacted and everything else. I'm not there for that. But up until I was 30, I thought because I was a deacon in the church and going to church every Sunday mostly, and tithing, I was on my way to heaven. I was just a good Christian in the church. Not a saved Christian, but a good going to church Christian. That's all that was. Okay, let me go into prayer, okay? Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge tonight, as well as wisdom, and anoint me with understanding. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will empower me to teach your word with clarity, simplicity, and boldness. And may our minds be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. I pray that the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, will move in such power, Father, that every stronghold of unbelief, every stronghold of discord, and vain thoughts be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my personal Redeemer and the world's Redeemer. And I pray that your words will bring salvation to those who are not saved. I ask that it bring healing to those who need healing and deliverance to all who are hooked on some kind of situation or some drugs or whatever or some unbelief. I pray that they will be delivered to all here in your presence this evening. And I pray, of course, Father, only in the name of your precious Son, the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, I just want to share at this time a few scriptures. Let me get my Bible, get a few scriptures with you. The first one comes from John, the 14th chapter. John 14, 14, 14, 14. All right, John 14, chapter 15, 16, and 17. It's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promising the Holy Spirit, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit now. Entitled The Way, the Truth, and Life. And Jesus said, and let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it not so, I would have told you. I would have told you. And then it goes on, I'll skip on down to verse 15. And then he says, the promise of the Holy Spirit, that's the subtitle, says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. Because when you are Christian, your body, what, is the child, is the minister. Your body is the house of the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, we are sons of God. And it goes on to say in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. Now, I just got through saying the comforter. That's referring to the Holy Spirit. But verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. He shall be in us. I'm talking about believers, not folks just go to church. Okay? And it has another scripture. John, the 17th chapter, verses 8 and 13. John, the 16th chapter, and it says this, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus talking, our Lord. I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, meaning he go back home to be with his father and sit on his throne. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, meaning the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I go back home, I will send him unto you. And when he come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Talking about the works of the Holy Spirit. Now in John 14, verses 15 through 17, talk about the promise of the coming Holy Spirit. That was Jesus talking. And then we jump over to John 16 chapter. And then Jesus talked about what the Holy Spirit is going to be doing. He talked about the works of the Holy Spirit. And then the last scripture, I got Romans 8. Romans 8. Let me flip over to Romans. Romans 8th chapter. And it starts this way, verses 8. So then, that are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwells in you. And he goes and says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. But the spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. Then he goes on saying, for many who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. Let's see, anything else I'm going to share about that? Yeah, that's all for right now. But we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the third person. The Holy Spirit is the one that directs our life, help us to experience the regeneration where we are born again, when we are born again. And what I want to do is, let's see. I want to share what he does, because he's a mighty, mighty God. He's a mighty, mighty God. But before I do, God wants me to be a little more intimate about the Holy Spirit. Let me say this, and then I'll be at peace with the Lord. First of all, with respect to the Holy Spirit, we must have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, everyone, in order for what? For us to properly, accurately, and precisely know the nature, the way, and the voice of God. He wants us to know the voice of God. And you know, no wonder. I forgot about saying, he's going to bring that up about knowing the voice of God, because he says to us that we must have a personal, close relationship with the Lord. And he said, and you must hear the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is here to guide us and direct us. And you know what the Lord said? He said, John, tell him this. And he says, and I took note. He says, my son, I still speak to any child of mine who will humble his or herself and listen. Again, my son, I still speak to any child of mine who will humble his or herself and listen. And then he says, I do not shout over the daily turmoil sounds of the average household. And I'm taking notes what I'm hearing in my spirit. My voice is not weak, but it is quiet and calm and sincere. Also, it takes complete surrender, John, on your part and others before you or they can hear it, my voice, that is. It will require complete surrender of your soul, your body, and your spirit before you can hear me. Let me repeat that. For you to hear me, it takes complete surrender on your part before you can hear it. That surrender must be, listen, three things. Complete soul, That's our mind. We'll be always thinking about the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're not thinking about some junk, if you know what I mean by junk. He said we must think, be with him completely with our soul. We must surrender our body. We use our body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't use our body to gamble. We don't use our body to beat you know what I'm somebody. We don't use our body to have perverted sex, fornication, and the rest of it, sexual morality, immorality, all that junk. For you to hear me, buddy, you got to be real with me with your soul or your thoughts, and your body. You use it because your body is a what? Temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't take my body with your body with the Holy Spirit and go somewhere and have sex with some woman, have sex with a man, or have sex with some child. He says, and especially if you misuse a child, he says, you're going to wish you never been born when I get through with you. In other words, tell me what you're going to put that stone over you and drop you in some water somewhere. But he says, you must be sold out to me with respect to your mind, that's your soul, your body, and your spirit. Oh, boy, and your spirit. Okay, that's the part that's going to continue to live forever. A spirit doesn't die. So when they're busy having their funeral down here, talking, he's gone to a better place. I don't see that anymore because I don't know people personally, what do they do and what do they don't do. I just say, well, praise the Lord, he's gone. His time on earth is past. You know, going for the judgment because the Bible says points all men to die and after that, the judgment. I don't tend funerals too much anymore anyway. But, you know, I can't see him where he's going. He's gone to a better place. They don't know that. And I can't see that, so I just keep my big mouth shut. I just, well, his time on earth is over. It's up to the Lord where he's going to be forever, either in hell with Satan or either with the Lord. And then another thing the Lord said in my spirit, he said, not only you must be sold out to me completely with your soul, body, and spirit, he says, and now listen to this, y'all, I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me. I do not answer casual inquiries. Hey, Lord, they told me you still speak that day. I was told that we have a written word, but I heard Pastor John, Brother Emmett, and he speaks to us too, not just we have his word, written word. He speaks to us through his word, but he speaks to us in our spirit. We can hear him in our spirit when he talks to us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father sometimes speak, alternate, and speak to us. We can still, they still talk to us. So they talk to Moses and the rest of them. But Satan don't want you to know that. Satan got a lot of priests walking around talking. He has a written word. Like, God can't talk to us like God is tongues and cut out or something. But we have a written word. That's fine. We have a written word. Sometimes God wants to speak to us personally. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to guide us. The Holy Spirit wants to give us our calling. He calls us, tell us what he wants us to do. He says, I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me. Now, listen to this. Who hear my voice. And not be excitement seekers. Now, let me see if God still speaks. We have his written word. I've tried many, many moons, and I ain't heard nothing. I think we just got his written word. Let me say this again. He says, I do not answer casual inquiry. That's why you don't hear him. Unless you're not living right. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me. And listen at this. He also said, and who hear my voice. Those who sincerely want to communicate with me will hear my voice. And he says, he adds something else on today. He says, and John, not the excitement seekers. Well, let me see. I heard God. Not the excitement seekers. Are the stubborn fool who sets out to prove or disapprove my ability and willingness to talk. You see, you got some folks in there, I'm going to prove you don't speak, man. I've been talking, asking them to speak to me now. I've been doing that for almost a year, man. I ain't heard nothing yet kind of thing. So I haven't heard anything, and so I don't believe in that, you know, kind of thing. And most of my friends don't believe it. Most of my buddies don't believe that God speaks to us today. We got the Bible. He says, I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me who hear my voice, not the excitement seekers or the stubborn fool who sets out to prove or disapprove my ability and willingness to talk. Then he said something else. Then after I read all that, I go, and listen to all that. Then I wrote some little personal note to myself. Oh, Lord, I heard what the Lord said. Before we can hear him, we got to believe that he still speaks to us. Sure, he speaks to us through his written word, but he speaks to us personally too. From the spirit of the Holy Spirit to our spirit. That's how he communicates with us. So he says, so when he told me all this, I started writing a little personal. After all that was over, I started writing some stuff that touched my heart. And this is my personal to myself. I said, my personal comments from my reading, I said, God does not show, because this is what he was telling me, and I want to summarize it. God does not show favoritism to any person because of his or her heritage, because his or her reputation, because of his or her position, because of her accomplishment, okay? And you get folks to tell you, man, I've got these many degrees, I've got many those degrees, I've got this castle, I've got 1,500 members in my church, I've been a deacon for this long, and I've been a chaplain for this long, and I've ministered to thousands of people while I was in that hospital as a chaplain. I did this, and I did that, and I did those. God said, God does not show favoritism to any person because of his or her heritage. I come from this kind of a family. Because of his or her reputation, he's known as a well-godly man or developed man or whatever. Also, he could care less about your position or your accomplishment. Now, he care if you do that, because a lot of people in jobs and positions, because they have flesh sitting there. They've got you sitting there. The Bible says, don't you know that I have a purpose and a plan for your life? A plan, not a calamity and problems, but a plan to give you a future and a hope. Because some of us in position because it's sort of like give us prestige, give us more money, more purpose, whatever it may be. But God said he has a purpose and plan for our life. But God does not show favoritism to any person because of his or her heritage or because of her reputation or because of her or his position or accomplishment. And listen at this. And I wrote this key into my spirit, too, as I started writing what I thought God was saying to me. See, God sees and evaluates our hearts. And what I say? He sees and evaluates our hearts, the inner person. He ain't looking at the flesh. He's looking at our heart. He's looking at our spirit. Not only he's looking at our heart and at our inner person, his favor rests on those whose hearts are sincerely, sincerely turned toward him in love and faith and purity. You know what I'm saying? He can care less about your education, about your position and status and recognition and power you got down here. What he's looking at, do you love him? Do you have faith in him? And are you pure, body, soul, and spirit? Are you one of them persons who do goody on Sunday and do helly on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Now, listen, what else my spirit felt led to write? I'm writing this to myself. I go, moreover, God does not prefer the love, fellowship, and prayers. Here we go now, listen, because I have a lot of people. I got these, and I got those, and I went to five schools. I got 6,000. I wrote this book, and I wrote that book, and I got all these degrees. Let me tell you what God put in my spirit. When I wrote this down, I said, moreover, God does not prefer the love, fellowship, and prayers of the educated more than the poor or the powerful or uneducated. God does not prefer the love, fellowship, and prayers of the educated more than the poor or the powerful or uneducated. He accepts all from every nation who fears him and do what is right. That's what you're looking at. You care about your education, your status, your position, influence, and all that. He's looking at your spirit. Buddy, you ain't coming up here with me unless you really sold out to me, body, soul, and spirit. When you come up here, I don't care about you. You got to be the general of the army, and you can be captain of the police team, and you ran so many miles, and you got all these things, and you got a church member of 3,000 or 4,000. He want to know, but he don't want to know. He going to be screening you while you're up there bragging about what you did and what you accomplished. He's looking at your spirit to see if you really, really, really love him. and did your best to devote and live your life after him, not but for his exaltation. You're supposed to praise him, not yourself. And then one last note I wrote to myself, I felt him saying to me, once a person turns his or her life over to him, talking about Jesus Christ, it is no longer business as usual. It means walking by faith, which includes opening oneself to the miracles and the ministry of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So with that little note I wrote to myself, it all talks about humility. He doesn't care about how much degrees we have. If you go and get degrees, that's fine. Nothing wrong with being educated, you know. But he wants you to think about you first, about your relationship with him. He can care less what kind of degree you got. He can care less how many badges you got on, you know. That's not his concern. His concern is, did you love me with all your heart and soul and spirit and love me that nobody could cause you to stray, not even the devil, hard as he tried, could cause you to stray. No good-looking woman can cause you to stray. No handsome six-foot-something man can cause you to go astray. No good-looking man who looks like a woman can cause you to pervert your lifestyle. None of that crap. Okay? All right. Now, I want to go on. First of all, he wants us to have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. And we know that once we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that's when we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Lord just put a thought in my head. He says, now you know our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? All right. To give notice, he says, if a woman or a man has the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, dwelling with him when he or she received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, ain't no way in the world he's still there if you having sex outside of your marriage. If you're single, you got no business having sex. That's called fornication. You can find about 10, 12 words in fornication that say you're going to hell if you have sex in any marriage to the woman or to the man, you know? And then he says, fornicators ain't coming up there, and not only adopters. If you got a wife, you're supposed to make love to your wife, and not that good-looking woman or that fag around the corner. We must have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives in order for us to properly, accurately, and precisely know the nature, the way, and the voice of God. He wants us to be so diligent that we can hear him. He still speaks that. Don't go around here anymore. We have his written word. Yeah, we have his written word. Read it. Read the thing. And then you see what he wants us to do. Sure. But he wants to speak to us too. You know why? Because sometimes, I don't care what kind of doctor degrees you got, when you read in the Bible and when you interpret it, when you're teaching somebody or preaching to somebody, guess what? If you can't hear the Holy Spirit, guess what? You teaching from the education you got. Like in some places, some churches and denominations don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God. They told me he was born out of wedlock. That Mary, she went to bed with this dude, Jude, and had a baby. You know, she wasn't even married. So that made Jesus a bastard. You know, that kind of stuff. Ain't no such thing, no Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus, when he said the Spirit of God moved, he's talking about God's Spirit. That's really wrong, too, you see. So when we in school, I'm talking about from a jams on up, when we're being taught, we are being taught by the teacher who's teaching from their knowledge, from their education. They went to college and got a college degree, got a master's degree, and now they got the master's degree, get a job. Person is teaching your children, even yourself while you're in school, what they were taught. Now, you have to know what their mindset was. Just like when I went to seminary, I thought the man was an idiot. When every new student had to open the class up with prayer, came my time. He said, John, it's your time to open us up with prayer. And I go, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Do you know the man screaming? What did you just say? I said, I ain't said nothing yet. I just said, Heavenly Father. He says, are you ignorant, son? I go, what do you mean? Man, I want to get up and slap him. You know what I said, what do you mean calling me ignorant? You don't know me. He tell me, it is no our Father. In this class, we say our Father, Mother. And I go, what is your problem? Where do you get that mother from? Well, you know, you're a lot of prejudiced people in this world, and a lot of people talking about prejudice against God. Who would know? God might be a woman. Who knows? And so we don't know. So from now on, I'm talking to everybody in this class now. When you pray, you say, our Father, Mother. we love you, we praise you, and stuff. And I was getting, I said, you know what, man? I got mad, boy. I really got teed on. I said, you know what? How long have you been teaching here, sir? I've been here 30 years. I said, well, you haven't learned anything. And 30 students sitting in the class, they go, John, you going crazy talking to a man like that? I said, man, I said, Jesus ain't no, you don't say no father woman. He said, oh, they just precious like men are nowadays. They don't want to, just women just had the right to vote not so long ago and everything else. And so, you know, the Bible has precious too. They don't, Mary could have been top brass and everything else. Who knows? But you don't say, and God could have been a lady. And I go, you know what, man? I say, tell you this. How long you been teaching here, sir? I've been here 30 years. Why you ask me that question? I say, obviously you didn't learn a thing. He said, how dare you speak to me like that here? I said, you don't know whether God is a man or a woman. Who knows for real? Like I said, he may be a woman. But, you know, the prejudice and all that shit. Well, then you calling Jesus stupid. And that got everybody's attention. Everybody go, whoa. Where'd that come from? He said, what do you mean I called Jesus stupid? I said, that's what you're doing indirectly. I never called Jesus stupid. I said, you did when you were talking to me. That's what you mean. Well, you just rebuked me saying, how I know that Jesus, you prefer to God as our Father when you pray our Father. He could be our mother. He could, God could be a lady. I said, you just called Jesus an ignorant man. I never insult Jesus. What you talking about? I said, then Jesus, when the apostle walked up to him and said, teach us to pray. What did Jesus say, sir? He said, oh, that's easy. Everybody knows. He said, our Father. Our Father. I said, our Father. Now, you're going to call Jesus stupid? Jesus was up there before he came down here. Jesus came down here so he can die for our sins. That's a sacrifice of death. So when the apostle said, teach us how to pray, Lord, please. He didn't say, our mother, which are in heaven, be our name. He says, our Father. He didn't say, our mother. He shut up. I said, you know what? I'm out of here, man. You ignorant. I walked out of the class. When I got home, told my wife I quit. after the second week, and she said, you can't quit. I said, why not? She said, when I looked at your registration paper and everything, I showed that for people to drop out, who want to drop out, they got to drop out within a certain time limit. And your time expired yesterday. You said, now they're going to keep your money, that $175 you paid for this quarter. Oh, Lord. So I went back. And when I walked into class that next Tuesday, everybody was shocked when they saw me walk into class. I said, oh, I see you're back. I said, yeah, not because of you. I'm back because I don't want to lose any money, sir. Or ma'am, whatever you are, I don't know for sure. The man gave me a C. I graduated with a B average. I could have graduated. The man would never give me an A because he held that against me. Now, back to the teaching. The Bible says, talking about the Holy Spirit, we must have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives in order for us to what? Properly and accurately and precisely know the nature and the way and the voice of God. And only we know to recognize the voice of God is we have to be righteous in body, soul, and spirit. And I don't mean no play preacher, play deacon, play chaplain, play choir director, or play. I'm talking about all directions, okay? I'm not focusing on preachers. I'm talking about a person who says he is a Christian. Let's get that right now. That John talked about preacher all night. I ain't talking about no preacher. I'm talking about believers who say they believe in God and they gave God their life. That's who I'm talking about. Because since God been using me last year and a half, God and I exposed so many people, it's a shame. Because God would tell Emmett something, and Emmett called me and said, John, you got to call this number. God told you he wants us. Why me? You know, why me? Why I got to tell him right now he's in a hotel with so-and-so-and-so? Or she's in a hotel so-and-so with somebody other than a husband or their wife? He said, yes. And I said, oh, Lord. So that's what God had me doing for the last year and a half. I thought I'd be retired, you know, and enjoying myself. But every day, God will let Brother Emmett and myself know who is hanky-panky with quiz against their husband, against their wife, and give us the number of the hotel, and we call the number and tell them, say, get out of that room. You in there in that room with that sissy. His name is so-and-so-and-so-and-so. You paying him this much money, and you in the hotel so-and-so. I mean, God would give us the hotel name and the number of the room he's screwing in. Some of them have three and four same-sex people in the room with them butt naked. I'm talking about all walks of life. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about the usher. All of them. And just average church members. Like I said, it's a variety. It's not confined to one title. It's a variety of all those who call themselves Christians. And God done told Brother Emily that I want my pulpit back. And Lord, I never thought at the age of 80, I'm going to sit here and go, sir, come out of the room with that faggot, please. You and there screwing the sissy. Are you in there with two sisters right now? And you in the hotel, who told you that? Who told you that? I said, the Lord, you know. But God wants us to be real. And, you know, God had me to say that because there's always, if you got 50 people in a room, there's got to be one in there that's doing the hanky-panky. God's speaking to that one person. I'm not speaking to everybody. I'm speaking to the joker who got to see you, okay? There's always somebody. There's no perfect police officer. You got the bad ones. You got the good ones. There's no, all ministers are not perfect or righteous. You got the good ones, and you got the bad ones. The bad ones are the ones who call themselves into the ministry. God didn't call them in the ministry. They call themselves in the ministry. Then you got the deacons, bad and good. You got the ushers, the bad and good. You got the members, bad and good. Okay? You got the congregation. You got the bad and good. You can sit there and just sing, praise the Lord. And as soon as Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all the time, they're raising hell. Okay. What else God want me to say? You can be saved, but still need the Holy Spirit. Here we come now. I'm focusing on the Holy Spirit. You can be saved, but still need the Holy Spirit to hear and demonstrate God's power. Because as we are believers, and our bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in there is just as a hotel or as a relaxing restaurant or something. He's there to guide us, to speak to us, and to talk to us. Not just to read the word, but he's there to communicate with us, y'all. He's there to communicate with us. So you can be saved, but still need the Holy Spirit to hear and demonstrate God's power. The Holy Spirit possesses what? A speaking, because he's a person, you know. He's a spiritual person. The Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature to communicate to the believers. Let me turn my light on. I had the window. It's getting dark outside, and the Bible's shutting down on me. Okay, here we go. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature. He wants to communicate with us like he communicated with Jesus and his Father. God, remember that now, God is a speaking spirit, and through the Spirit we understand spiritual things and the nature of God. So when we're reading the Bible and stuff like that, I wonder what that means. So we come up with a meaning that we were taught in school. We don't necessarily mean it right because it's coming out of Professor Mott, because guess what? He is teaching what he's been taught. So if he's been teaching a lie, if he's been taught a lie, he's teaching a lie. Just like a lot of white folks I know. You know, I go through the white neighborhood and some kids be on the porch playing, you know, like they're 7 and 12 or something. And I'm going through, they've been going to the store, going to football practice around the high school stuff. Hey, sit down. There's a real nigga. See, there's a real nigga. And boy, the mama's heard the kids, and she had to bang your butt in him. Because I was sitting there looking at her. I guess because I was going to come in there and stomp them kids. But, you know, I just said, pitiful. They're saying what they're being taught by their parents, that Negroes are insubordinate and everything. Just like right now, they're trying to change the voting. So Negroes can't win no more, these kinds of things. You see how ridiculous it is? They have the mind of Satan. They don't have the mind of Christ. And I bet you a dollar. Half of them folks are teaching their children about don't mess with them, don't marry them. They're ignorant. They belittle. They're under us and all that stuff. They're going to pay for that when they go face Jesus. Jesus said, I created them too. You forgot? I created Spanish. I created Africans. I created Asians. I created Germans, Russians, the whole nine yards. That was my creation. You don't tell me about one race is supporting you because you white and they black. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Go to hell. And Sentinel going, I got you, you know. So the Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature to communicate through the believer. God is a speaking spirit, y'all. He didn't say, hey, go read the Bible. I ain't got nothing to say no more. I got it written in the Bible. Go read the Bible. No. The Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature to communicate through the believer. God is a speaking spirit. And through the Spirit, we understand the spiritual things and the nature of God. who's going to explain that? Somebody who's supposed to be so bright, made all A's in class, stuff like that? Not necessarily sometimes, yeah, because some of them are gifted. God gets them. But the majority of the time, if you don't understand something, you get on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wrote it. Ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. You know, like, you know, I'm going to go straight and give a point, but that'll be too long. So remember, you got to remember that the Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk. So if we don't know anything, are we trying to comfort, especially when you see something in the Bible and you don't quite understand it? Do what I got to do. At first, I used to go to somebody else and the joker didn't know no more than I did. I'd go to the Holy Spirit now and say, you got it wrong, John. You know, just like I found after hearing about tongues no longer exist, you know, and tongues had ceased and that kind of stuff. And God took me to the scriptures I can share. If I have time, I'll share where it says tongue will cease. It didn't say tongue has ceased. You think God showed me that scripture? 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Anybody will take note. 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says that prophecy has vanished and tongues has ceased and revelation has stopped and all this stuff. No, all of it, if you look at the tense, it says prophecy will. And it said tongues. It said tongues has ceased. You can look at every version. And it said tongues will or tongues shall. And the Lord says, son, it shall, will, past tense or future tense. You kind of cut me off guard a little bit. I said, well, I got to get my English. I started thinking. I said, that's future tense. He said, amen. He says, tongues will cease. And he said, John, look at verse 10. When will it cease? And I looked at verse 10 and said, oh, my God. It says tongue will cease when that which is perfect comes. He said, John, who is perfect? I said, nobody but you, Lord. He said, that's when it will cease, when I come back. Because it would need tongue. Because tongue is primarily the Holy Spirit speaking to the pastor to speak to the congregation. Or the Holy Spirit will have you to speak in tongues. And somebody who understands what you're saying can understand that language. You be talking to him. He said, you know what you said to me? You said, don't worry, your son's not going to die. I said, I was just praying in tongues, man. That's all. I'm sitting in the back of your cab. He said, you said, Lord, I pray that you will heal this man's son. So he said, you were praying for my son. I said, I didn't know. And he was Spanish, you know. And that happens. Sometimes I could be in church. And then you can have somebody sitting next to me who might be Italian. That's if I happen to go to an integrated church at the time, a full gospel church. And I'd be praying silently in my prayer language. Shakirian nikata parasa. And the lady turned around crying to me, sir, you just prayed for my baby who ran away from home. You don't look Italian to me. Aren't you African-American? I said, yes, ma'am. He said, you were saying, Lord, bless this woman. Bless her son that her son will return home. He ran away when he was 18 years old. Lord asked that you bring him home. Yeah, I said, I was praying for that lady's son. She said, yes, sir, you were praying in my language. I said, well, that's tongues for you. Tongues just mean you speak in a language that you don't understand. Now, if I start speaking first like, yo te quiero, you know, stuff like that, I'm saying it because I was taught some Spanish, so that's not a tongue. I can say, ¿cómo se llama? What's your name? And I can say, ¿cuántos años tiene usted? I mean, how old are you? If I say, yo te quiero, that means I love you. You know, that kind of a thing. But that's not tongue. What do you call it? Interpretation. That's interpretation. See, that's not tongues. Okay. So the word goes, I want you to remember this. The Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk. We need to go to him. If we need clarification about a scripture we don't quite understand, talk to him because he wrote it. Okay? The Holy Spirit. Because you have a lot of real ministers who know the word. I mean, heavyweights. Then you got some who don't know the Lord and just speaking from what they can imagine. I'm talking about even a deacon. Deacon, could you explain this to me, right? Mama, could you explain it to me? Daddy, could you explain to me? That person, some going to give you what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Some going to give you what their mind tells them to do. Because a lot of them out there don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. And when they give you an interpretation, they're giving you what their mind tells them, you know, kind of a thing. Okay? Okay. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. If you got a question, that's the Holy Spirit. But if you just believe that we have good will, you'll never hear the Holy Spirit. Excuse me? Move on. I'll speak to those who believe that I still speak that I'm alive and that I am God also. You know? Okay. Because we act and treat others according to our household thinking. If mama and daddy teach you from a child on up to when you left home in 2021 or whatever, you're gonna take that same teaching into your household, into your friends, that kind of thing. So you can be this, you can make all A's from first grade through college, but if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, read the Word of God, you're gonna be speaking intellectually, and intellectually don't get you nowhere. God wants you to teach the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. Okay, so the Holy Spirit can communicate with us, and He help us as a person with when we ask. And that's true. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, folks. Let us get a personal relationship with the Lord, I'm saying. He wants to talk with us. He wants to share with us. He wants to tell us what He has in mind for us. And also, I want you to remember this. The Holy Spirit performs the actions of a person because He's a person. Wow. He's a person. Yeah, He's a spiritual person, not a human person. He has, take this now. I wrote down a little note and I go, you know what? I found out from my reading that the Holy Spirit is a person because He performs the kinds of actions as a person. He does a number of things only a person can do, but He's a spiritual person. And I got this when I'm reading John, Romans, and a few Romans and Acts and Revelation. You know what I came up with? Like number one. Because He's a teacher. He's a teacher. He teaches the apostles in him. You know, when after Jesus left, He brought to remembrance everything that Jesus taught him. He teaches. The Holy Spirit testifies. The Holy Spirit guides us and directs us and maps out a plan for our life. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in that quiet, still voice. Sometimes when you have that thought, you think, boy, that's pretty heavy what I just thought of. I want you to remember, thank you, Lord. There's one thing I got to emphasize. Just because you're thinking it, that don't mean that's you. That's the hardest thing I had to learn. Because if I thought this woman liked me, or I thought that this teacher liked me, or I thought that this was a good car to buy, I thought it was me, you know? I thought that was a bad guy to deal with, a good person to deal with, not to deal with. That's my intelligent thought. But you know what? When thoughts come into your head, I want to tell you this, you don't remember anything else. When you have a thought in your head, it can come from Jesus. It can come from the Holy Spirit. It can come from your horny flesh. It can come from demons. It can come from the devil himself. And how you distinguish who's giving you those thoughts is you have to know the Word of God. You got to stay in the Bible. You know, boy, he sure is handsome. I like him. I don't see if I can make it with him or her. Kind of think, wow, daddy, you. Tell me, you, I like to go to bed with her. She looks so sexy. Daddy, you. That's that demonic spirit, that sexual spirit say, I'm going to get this joke at a fornicator, this woman a fornicator. Fornicator is when you're single. Commit adultery, that's when you're married. And then you die in an automobile accident when you leave that person's bedroom to go home, die in an accident, and then you got to go stand for Jesus and judgment. And everybody down on earth, he's gone to a better place. And then Satan be up there talking about, and you don't know the truth, baby. I'm going to take him over. God can say, then you know I said it's not adulterous, not this and that, and that. They're going to enter my kingdom, not even a liar. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I died for you. I died. I took that beating. Took them at the stake. They rammed those raw nails through my feet and my hand. I did it for you. I asked my daddy before they did it to me not to let it happen to me. But my dad, three times I begged him, said, no, Father, I don't want to go through that. Can't there some other way those folks down there get saved? He said, no, a sinner can't die for a sinner. Only a righteous person can die for a sinner. And you're the righteous one that I'm going to send down there. And he said, okay. He begged three times. And God told him, no. Then he finally said on the third time, not my will, but your will. So he took that beating, them 39 stripes. He beat the hell out of Jesus. He put them big old raw nails to his hand and said, for you. But you can walk around and tell them, I love this woman. I love this man. I'm a shoplift here and I'm a shoplift there. I'm drink my wine, my weed and everything else. Go ahead on. But you have to stand there and look at it. You see the nails, print hands and feet. And you can tell them, Hey, Jesus, praise the Lord. And you look at you and say, depart from me, you work, I never knew you. And you'd be trying to think up some kind of psychological thing you could say to him to get your butt in heaven, and he know every thought that you're saying. He can read your thoughts. Your thoughts is just like a verb, like an over speaking to you. He know your thoughts. He know what you're going to say and think before you even say you're thinking. You're looking at God when you get up there. You can't play against God no more. Well, I didn't know no better. Okay, excuse me. He can say, you didn't hear me? I said, depart from me. You work of iniquity. I never knew you. Sinners don't enter this place none but holy, righteous folks who love me. So the Holy Spirit speaks, and he tries to warn us. He guides us. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, y'all. He teaches us. He testifies. He guides us. He speaks to us. He enlightens us. Show us where you're wrong. Going wrong. Don't do that. Don't go with him or her. They'll lead you astray. He's not real. Just pretend. He just wants your money. That's all kind of a thing. He strives. He continually speaks to our spirit. Said, no, don't do that. This is what I want you to do. Go here. Go there for that job. That's the job I have for you. Not this job, but that one. Sure, that one seems to be more popular, but this one meets the skill and abilities that I gave you. He commands us. He intercedes for us. Sometimes he says, Lord, and then the Holy Spirit will pray for you. That's what I do, you know? And when that's one good thing about having tongues. Sometimes I pray, you know, when we in the flesh, Lord, I need this so bad. Lord, help me here. Lord, do this for me. Lord, make her love me. Make him love me. Lord, I need some more money. Lord, do this. And instead of just saying, I praise you. I love you, Lord. We is always, when we're on our knees, 90% of the time, we say, give me. I want kind of a thing. He intercedes for us. He sees us. So that's why I let the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when I go to bed at night, I say, Lord, I'm tired. I realize now that every time I open my mouth, I need this, Lord. I need that, Lord. Could you give me this, Lord? Could you bless this, Lord? Could you do this for me, Lord? And I say, Lord, I'm a begging prayer man. So I cut it out. I only pray for what I really need, not give me. And then I say, Holy Spirit, listen to y'all. I say, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, would you pray for me, please? Would you intercede for me? And I say, in Jesus' name. I say, Holy Spirit, you got it. I give my voice, my vocal cords to you in Jesus' name. And I go, Heshikiria nekita para sokoli. Hekitira kala poro sokoli. Hekipiria ne. No, kita para sokoli. Helea poro so. Kelini heglia mata. Sokoli anekata para. No hokila hari. Heshikiriana. Kaluyata para si. Kiriana kata. Boli teki. Heliani kata poro sokoli. Hekipiriana. No hokima. In Jesus' name. Sometimes I sit, I'd be on my knees for a whole hour, sometimes 2 hours, just praying, knowing that the Holy Spirit interceded for me. Praise the Lord. Because sometimes I don't know what to pray for. You might have an auntie, uncle, brother, sister, child, a friend who's really sick, but they haven't told you about it, you know, because of shame. Some may have some kind of disease, but they don't want to take, and the Holy Spirit, you yes, you can, you might be praying for that person. Say, and the Holy Spirit be saying, Lord, heal this person. This person was tricked into this relationship he had. And that's how come, well, Lord, you know, heal this person. Honor this young man's, this young woman's prayer for this thing. And Lord will do it. See? So I may pray my own flesh maybe about 15 minutes, but other times I let the Holy Spirit see, because the Holy Spirit know what's wrong with me, where I'm weak at. He may know members of my family that's sick that I don't know of that may have cancer, or high blood pressure, or whatever it be. The Holy Spirit know everything. So I let the Holy Spirit pray. And the Holy Spirit be interceding for your mama, your grandmama, your granddaddy, for your child and everything else. And you don't know what in the world you're saying unless he gives you a different interpretation, you see. Okay. So the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit sends workers. Like he got chaplains, ministers, ushers, and all that. Yes, he put it in their spirit to go to the church and ask the pastor for a position if he had one. He send you to a job site. It's like that's how I got my job with the government. And he just woke me up one morning and said, go. And I went there, and didn't know he had open everything else. Just so happened, I walked into it, they were looking for a black person. And I happened to be the first black person to walk in that door. The man had 300 people working for him, and all was white. I was the first black that they hired, and I called hell for the first 6 months because none of them wanted to speak to him. All I could say is, oh, Lord, we got a nigga there, you know. But before the year was up, they all loved me to death. They took me to lunch and everything else. He invited me to their house. Okay. So he sends workers. He calls. He called us into different ministries. I don't care if it's singing, teaching, dentist, or whatever. The Holy Spirit knows exactly the purpose that you're here. The Holy Spirit, he comforts us. Many times we are sad, look like we can't get over everything else. And say, Lord, I just can't deal with the death of my sister and my mother, my grandmama. Lord, I can't. I lost a job, Lord. I got a family I got to take care of. Lord, I got a family. And God will give you peace, and he'll open up another door for you. So he comforts us. That's why he's called a comforter. And he works. When I say works, he gives us assignments and these kinds of things. The Holy Spirit was addressed as a person in the Bible, y'all. The New Testament clearly shows that the early Christians, guess what, recognized, and I don't want to recognize, but they clearly believed the Spirit was a person. They recognized and they affirmed that the Holy Spirit was a person in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Peter obeyed, remember Peter? Peter obeyed the Holy Spirit when he was commanded to go to Cornelius' household, and Philip followed the leading of the Holy Spirit in his ministry. We had a lot of them following the Holy Spirit at the time. Now we're talking about the Holy Spirit as deity, come as God. Well, when I was reading, I came across some interesting stuff. I don't have to read, I know who he is. But not only is the Holy Spirit a person, but he is also God. He's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. As God, he is worthy of our worship and obedience. And he's the one that's primary, and that's when Jesus went back, that's been assigned to talk to us, give us information, tell us things. That would help us, that guide us in the path of righteousness and tell us when we're going to be in harm and all these other kinds of things. The Holy Spirit is deity, God. It's demonstrated what? In his names, they call him what? The Comforter and all the other things, the Holy Spirit and so forth. He has all the Holy One. Another thing I want to share is, well, he's a part of the Trinity. So he's God. When we speak of the Trinity of God, what? We are speaking of one God. Three persons, one God. It's like you got one animal called a dog, but you got all kinds of dogs. You got a bulldog, you got a German Shepherd, you got an Alaskan Husky, and all that. But what are they? They are a dog. So you only got one type, got one animal that's called a dog, but there's different types. They all have different functions. They all have. So God is God. A dog is a dog. I don't care if it's a bulldog, a German Shepherd, a Husky, or whatever. When you say dog, there's only one dog. I mean, an animal that calls a dog, but they come in various styles and shapes, but they call a dog. I don't care if you look at a spaniel, you're looking at a bulldog, looking at a German husky, a German dog, a husky, whatever. When you look at it, what is that? They tell you, that's a dog. That's a dog. The Holy Spirit is a dog, but he's also, I take that back, sorry. The Holy Spirit is God. Okay, Jesus God, but there's one God, but there's three persons, but they have the same strength, the same knowledge, they're equal. They're called God. That's the kind of person they are, God. And also remember when Peter asked Ananias, why has Satan, remember they went to sell some property or something like that, and they came back and lied because they kept sending money to themselves, remember that? And then he lied, and then one of them died. You remember when Peter asked Ananias, he says, you lying about what you sold the house for? Why has Satan, the devil, filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Because Peter was talking. Peter had, a believer had the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. So when he was telling Peter that lie, he was not only talking to Peter, but he was addressing the Holy Spirit that was inside Peter. Peter said, Ananias, Why has Satan, the devil, filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? I guess Peter said, what are you talking about? I ain't talking to the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to you. Yeah. But you know, when he was asking him that question, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to ask that question about how he did on the sale of his house. And he lied about it. He said, you didn't lie on to me. You lied to the Holy Spirit. You see. He says, and then he says, what do you mean? He said, sir, not only you lied to me, you didn't lie to men, but you lied to God. And you got to look at his attributes as well. And his attributes, he has the same power of the Father and the Son. Okay? He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. He has all those things. And he works. He works. He works. Now, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, as he works, and he gives us gifts. I'm talking about every man. Some people got the gift of singing. Some people got the gift of dancing. Some got the gift of teaching. Some got the gift of preaching. Some got the gift of creating science, stuff like light bulbs, electricity, telephones, cell phones. And he gave us all those gifts. That man or woman that jumped in, I think I'm going to develop a cell phone. I think I'm going to build a chapel. I think I'm going to do this. It's the Holy Spirit that's to develop that thing. And all the different kinds of foods and the restaurants and all the different kinds of buildings. The Holy Spirit calls a certain person and put that intelligence in their mind and in their spirit. And there's man now. He's famous because he built a beautiful chapel. Those who model those cars, Cadillacs, convertibles and all that. God, the Holy Spirit, put that knowledge into that man's head. Nobody's told him. Anybody, boy, he's smart. Man, he BMW. That guy threw that thing on a blackboard and everything else, and his boss and all that, the engineers, so sold out of it. And he made lots of money. And think about the man saying, I'm going to create a cell phone. And nobody told him how to do a cell phone. And he didn't do that by himself. He was anointed by God, the Holy Spirit, and put that idea in his head. And look at the money that man made. God just had a purpose and plan for him. That was God's purpose for that man's life. Who made that cell phone. And now he's a visionaire kind of thing. God might put the writing skills into your mind and you become a great author and all that, writing all these books and everything else. Teacher, God give you oratorical skills. Are you a mighty, mighty spoke preacher? God call you to preach and you got that gift, boy, you can chit chat all day long. Very cool. That's because God gave you that gift. God is singer. Okay? Now, God says, you know what? The church needs some gift. These people need some gift. They're going to make it a miracle. Satan will be up there, but as long as they live. So I'm going to have to give them some talents. And unfortunately, 1 Corinthians 12 chapter is not being taught by most of our ministers. All they say is we have a written word. Did you know God gave all of us, God gave somebody the gift to build a cell phone. God gave somebody the gift to design automobiles, airplanes, different kinds of guns and all that. God gave those gentlemen, those women, those gifts, okay? He gave us gifts, too, to make it through this world, how to defeat Satan, so Satan won't have the advantage of us. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, he said, tell them what gifts I give them. The Holy Spirit said, you tell them, John. Tell them what I gave them. They need to read 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter. These are the gifts, and most of them are ignoring 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. Talking about that's obsolete now. We have his written word. He gave us these talents so we can defeat Satan and be successful. One, if you look at 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, I'm going to name 9 gifts that he gave us. But most average person I know that don't do it because they don't believe it. All they say, we have his written word. We have his written word. The first one is God gave everybody the gift of a word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, what is that, Brother John? The Holy Spirit is, the word of wisdom is this. Give us the ability to solve problems and situations. We all have problems and situations. We don't know how to handle it. We may go to our mom, our parent, or somebody in knowledge in that field that we're trying to get understanding. Holy Spirit also told me give us wisdom. The Holy Spirit also give us the word of divine instruction. He may have some specific instruction direct that he wants us to do. But we don't know it because all we want to have is this word, and you do what you want to do, or what you think what excites you, or what you think will make you important or famous or popular. The Holy Spirit give us a word of divine instructions and direction to someone. He tell us what he wants to do with our life. He tell us about what business we should go in, what business we should join. The Holy Spirit always give us wisdom about how to manage people if you want to run your own company, everything else, and how to deal with your family, your children, your wife, you know, kind of a thing. Because there's a lot of marital breakup, and the poor man don't know what the world he's done to make the women hate him, you know, so far, or the children hate him. So the Holy Spirit gives each one of us wisdom for those who receive it and believe it, not only give us the Bible, but he give us a word of wisdom. He also give us the word of knowledge. And I see I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. This was it's in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. All this, man, I ain't learned this stuff until I was in my 40s. Yeah, I said, you mean to tell me I had all that talent waiting on me, all those gifts and stuff from me, And I'm walking around there telling him, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's all I can say. Man, please. He gave us a word of knowledge. And what I mean by that, listen. And all this in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, what I'm saying. Not only he gave us wisdom to deal with problems and situations, because if I don't know what to tackle, Lord, the Holy Spirit, how can I resolve this problem? What can I do? And I might not get this right there. So I just have patience. I just walk around praying in tongues. And they found the Holy Spirit said, okay, this is what you do. And tell me what to do. The thoughts come to my head how I should handle that problem. Not only when you have the word of knowledge, but I said knowledge, that's knowing something, right? He give us the names of people. You know, you might walk by and you see a person, and you go, I know that person. Who? I can't remember. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I remember. What the Holy Spirit just brought it back into your remembrance. You go, I remember. That's because the Holy Spirit heard you talk about, I can't remember that person. What is that person's name? And you must say, Lord, what is that person's name? The Lord heard that. And the Holy Spirit said, step in and say, Martha, Mary. Now I remember. You know, now I remember. It's now the Holy Spirit just told me. Okay? Now, the word of knowledge, God will tell you people names. And if you lose something like your keys around the house, and all you got to do is say, Holy Spirit, I lost my car keys. I don't know where it is. And, so, and many times I do that. Sometimes I leave the keys at the car and come in the house. And then about an hour or so later, I'm walking around because I had to go to the store and walking. I'm looking in every room and say, where did I put that thing? Not realize that I was in the car. Then I finally, after walking around here for 40 minutes, all frustrated, I brought to me and said, Holy Spirit, you know where are my keys? Please tell me, please, in Jesus' name. And I just be quiet. Then about 10 or 15 minutes, it's in the car. That's what they thought in my car. Look at all. I go, there it is. It's in the ashtray. I don't smoke, but it's sitting in the ashtray. And that's it. Now, not only he named people, give you the names of people, he also helped you find lost items in your house or whatever it may be. He also exposed enemies. In other words, this man or woman might want to pray with you because they want to go to bed with you, or you got something they want, or you got a position that they hope they can get you to hire them for. They want to hang with you because they will be more popular and influential because you're a poor person or you're big time. So they want to be your friends and come up to you and want to do nice things for you. Know that. That's because that sucker selfish. He don't crazy about you. He wants some of that popularity to rub up off of him. Okay? So he will let you know, Lord, that he ain't real. He really don't care about you. He just using you for your popularity. He want to be seen with you. And you go, I didn't know that, Lord. I said, that's what he's doing. That's what the relationship, Holy Spirit do. And also, not only he will reveal the purpose that person signed up with you, but he also reveal what kind of relationship you're going to have with that person. Might be a hurting relationship. Might be a pregnancy relationship. Might be a murder relationship. Okay? He also would what else he do? He would also let you know secret things. He would reveal secret things to you. Might be a secret that's being withheld by one of your parents on you, a secret your best friend have on you, and you don't know what secret it is that the person is withholding from you. Okay? You could be a close friend who you think is your best friend kind of thing. So, again, the Holy Spirit give you names of people. They help you to find lost items that you lost. And they will also expose those who mean you no good. And they also, reveal you what kind of relationship you're going to have with that person or will not have a person because they seem like they up and good and everything else. And all they're going to do is just bring you down because the person is honorary. So God will protect you for establishing a relationship with some honorary person who is full of crap. And the Holy Spirit will let you know some people's secrets in some cases. You know, I don't have no money. I don't have this. And could you give me this? Could you give me some of that? Could you do this for me? You're just using you see. So God will let you know who is using you for a sucker. Okay, for a sucker. Guess what else? Not only does the Holy Spirit give you words of wisdom, but he also gives you words of knowledge. He tells you about a person, where you can find things, whether the person good or bad, He also can tell you who's your enemy, who isn't. He can tell you where you can find things and these kinds of things. Then also the Holy Spirit give you the gift of discerning of spirit. I said discerning, that means figuring out and knowing. You go, you may see a person and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reveal everything about that person. You say, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go over there and see if I can get a job with him or so on, so on, so on. When that dude is the biggest crook in town, you know. And then he ain't nothing. All he do is go into bed with all the women working for him because they're scared if they know because they'll lose their job. They went and bought a house and everything else. And now the man said, you got to give it up, you know. And if they know, if they say no, the man will find some excuse to find them. Then they've got a house and a car, they got to pay for with no job. I'm talking facts, folks. I'm talking life. I'm 80 years old. I've seen it and I've been around. All right? The Holy Spirit gives word of wisdom. That's how to deal with situations and problems. He gives you the word of knowledge. That's let you know about people, about items, about your problems, and about your relationships, and about or secret things that people are hiding from you. Even your own sister and brother might be hiding from something. And God know it will be harmful to you, so God will tell you. Now, it's not harmful. Then it ain't out of your business what they're doing. It's not of your business. But it's something that would hurt you. And even though he or she's your brother, sister, cousin, they don't love you. Some of them don't. They wasn't brought up that way. And they have to take everything from you that they want, okay, not to undermine you. And then you got discerning of spirits. God give you that. The Holy Spirit give you that, too. What is discerning of spirits, Brother John, that gift? I'm talking about the gift the Holy Spirit want to give us, and it's in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. But nobody refer us, like, God loves you, Jesus loves you, this I know, all the Bible tell me so. You know, I recommend everybody read 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, and you'll see what God, the Holy Spirit, wants to do with you and the kind of gifts he want to give you, okay? Another, a third gift he want to give you. It's called discerning of spirits. You know what discerning of spirits is? Discerning of spirits, spirits of God. I talk about the Spirit of God, how he deal with us, okay? Discerning of spirits, will, what else would it do? Well, sometimes discerning spirits, oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord, thank you. What happens is when you deal with somebody, when I say discerning of spirits, God lets you know if that person got a Holy Spirit, a crafty spirit, a lying spirit, a murderous spirit, a rapist spirit, a lustful spirit, a rich-minded spirit, self-centered spirit. God will let you know what you're dealing with, when you really get involved with the person. Yeah, I got it right here. God says, that's in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter John, chapter 12, verse 10. He says, discerning of spirits to another distinction between spirits. He will let you know what kind of spirit that sucker got. I wish he'd marry me. He's handsome. I could have beautiful children and so on and so on. I want to marry. He's really wealthy. He really can take care of me. But you don't know how he got his wealth. You know, he can be a dope addict. He can be a drug addict, a drug dealer. You follow what I'm saying? So discerning means you discern. You would know that sucker's spirit. Here's how I call them book sucker. You would know their spirit. If for real, are they a bunch of hypocrites, phony, baloney kind of thing, and just want to use and misuse people for their own benefits, okay? So that's what discerning of spirit. You, and some of them are ruled by the devil, evil. So when you talk to spirit, you know they got a demonic spirit. The Holy Spirit says, you don't want to deal with that one. That one got a murderous spirit. He's foul. He's evil. Even though he looked good, she looked good, smiled, looked like an angel, but he, she has an evil spirit. They have molested children in their past. They commit adultery. They do this and they do that. And you say, I'll be done. Save you time and trouble. The number is called the discerning. That means discern. God reveal that person's attitude, love, hatred, everything about them. Can you imagine how much time that'll save you? I've been going with this man a whole year, and I didn't know that. I'm married to Jogan, and I didn't know he was like that until we got married. And that's some child. I wanted to boast. I don't know how to get out of it, these kinds of things. So discerning of spirit is God reveal secret stuff about that person. And then God will give you the gift of prophecy. That's in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 2, the gift of prophecy. You know what prophecy is? It's a message or utterance through an individual from God. God may have you to speak to a friend of yours who didn't know that you knew that they were doing something they ain't got no business. You know, you can find all kind of wrong things. So I'm not wasting my time trying to name all different kind of sins. But God, the prophecy is a message of utterance through an individual from God to, say, from an individual. You can be the individual. God may say, go tell your friend Mary to leave that man alone. That man is married. He's lying. Every time he comes to your house or he take his wedding band off, he is full of crap. He ain't real. Thank you, honey. Joe, you don't need to go. I'm sure that woman's gorgeous and fine, everything else. But she has a boyfriend, and she tells you she likes your looks, so she's in there. But if that boyfriend found out about you, he'll put a hit on your butt. Go, what? Do what? The hostess said he would put a hit on your butt. You better leave that woman alone. So, oh, Lord. You know, kind of thing. So the Holy Spirit give you the gift of discernment. You would know about an individual. God would tell you, or God would tell that person to tell you, say, you're being jibed, man. You know, you're being used. So what do you mean? So the Lord told me that that person you hook up with, or that boss you with, or that so-and-so that you're about to sign a contract with tomorrow, that joke of them contracts you got, you haven't read the bottom line. That's a dream you drive. See, so God will tell, have you to tell a person that they're being deceived or being misused. Okay? Or God may use somebody to come and tell you. But when somebody tells you that God said do this and do that, tell you what you do. You say, thank you so much. And you put it on the shelf. Don't you jump up there. God told me to tell you to quit that job, honey, because that place is going to close down in another week or so. You're going to go past. God told me to tell you so. What you should say, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Have a good day. And then when you go home, you put it on the shelf. God says, you need 3 confirmations before you believe what that joke will tell you to do. He says, if I'm speaking to you, I have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You get three prophecies about what you should or should not do. Don't believe some man, some woman. God told me you need to do this. I can give you plenty of examples of people got to see, but I don't have the time. Okay? What time is it anyway? What time is it? I don't know. Anyway, oh, I see. 8 to 9. And then I got from 9 to 10. It's 20 after 9. Oh, I got to move on. So anyway, he gave us the gift of tongues. And tongues are still for us today. If you look at, like I said earlier, tongues is when the Holy Spirit is speaking, it's not you. The Holy Spirit may want to speak to the congregation, you know, and the pastor, the assistant pastor, may be up on the pulpit, and he about to close out the service, and the Holy Spirit's ready to say, speak in tongues that I give you, and I got something I want to say to the congregation. And you go, yes, Lord. And you say, hold up, everybody, hold up. I know everybody's standing, thinking you're going to say the benediction. And then you say, the Lord has a message in Jesus' name. And you go, in Jesus' name. And you go, I don't know what I said, Lord. You gave me the gift of tongues, but you didn't give me the gift of interpretation. And then the janitor might raise his hand or one of the quads singing, might say, Pastor, you didn't know I could speak in tongues, and God gave me a gift of interpretation. And I know exactly what you said because he gave me, really? Come on up here. She'd go up to the pulpit and say, y'all, the Lord just spoke to the pastor in tongues. What he said was, he loved you. He thank you. He appreciates your diligence, your love, concern for him. And he also saying that there's a woman who told her she has breast cancer yesterday when she said to the doctor. Well, the Lord said to the pastor in tongues that don't worry about it. He's going to heal you. The Lord says, sir, it's a man who got cancer. No, the woman got a lump in her breast. She got cancer. He said, if you go downstairs with the mothers of the church and have the sisters to pray over you, you will be healed right then and there. And the woman starts screaming, that's me. And then she go up there, and other women feel up, you sure enough, you have a lump there. And say, and the pastor, do what the Lord said through me. They go downstairs, and they come back up 15 minutes, and guess what? The lump comes, you see. So tongues is when God or the Holy Spirit want to speak to somebody, and the person will have the slightest idea. Because if I'm standing looking at you, and the Lord might say, speak to her in tongues. I go, huh? I say, okay. I say, honey, the Lord got something saying. I go, shikiri, I get the parasol. And the woman look at me and say, are you Italian? I go, no, ma'am. I said, why are you asking me that question? She said, because you were speaking to me in Italian. You were telling me about a problem I had back home in Italy, and the Lord told me he's dealing with it. And she started crying. I go, praise the Lord. You know, and so most time, the pastor, the Holy Ghost will speak through the pastor, the whole congregation, and the whole congregation is uplifted and encouraged and exhorted. Because most of the time, when he speaks to a congregation, it's a message for the whole congregation, and God knows exactly what to say. They would uplift their spirit and think, man, they'd be hugging. Pastor, I don't know what got over you, what you've been drinking or what, but you were speaking to me today. And when they say that to you, that's because you didn't know the Holy Spirit put that thought in your head when you were teaching and preaching that particular time. Especially when they come in. I would swear you sneaking around my house, see what's going on, Pastor. I mean, that sermon touched my heart. I mean, it addressed a problem I was having, and so on, but praise the Lord, my sister, praise the Lord. And then the pastor said, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. I don't know what I said, but praise the Lord. That's because, in special, he'd do that when you have the pastor speak in English. But then there's other churches where the pastor speak in tongues, that God would have the pastor speak in tongues because there's somebody in that church who's going to speak that language that the pastor's going to be saying. It could be French, it could be Spanish, or whatever. Because they may have a visitor in that church, and God's going to meet that visitor who was there by the invitation of a new regular number. And God will speak to that visitor, and at this breakdown and cry and says, you know, I was supposed to be here. The Lord told me about my child, about my husband, and told me, and I was encouraged. That's how it works. That's what tongues are all about. But the devil don't want you to know. He tell you the lie about tongues have ceased. You know, tongues have ceased. The Bible say tongues will. Will is present tense. I talked to many teachers. Look at that scripture. They say, John, the Holy Spirit told you, right? Look at that. He said, tongues will in the past, and what tongue has. That's the lie that the devil told everybody. Look at the other two. Say, prophecy and tongues, you know, that kind of thing, and the other stuff. No, it ain't none of them. He said, number 10 says, verse 10 says, when that which is perfect comes, then it will cease, because when that which is perfect, that's verse 10 said that, Jesus, the perfect one, when he come back, we're going to need tongues no more, because he's there down here with us, teaching us, and because we start having the mind of Christ. So the Bible say in verse 8, 9, that everything we just know in parts. That's what it says in verse 8, 9, 10. We just know things in parts. That's why we still have tongues, because God will have the Holy Spirit that speak to us through somebody who can speak in tongues, and then God will give somebody interpretation. But the devil don't want us to know it. You haven't heard the devil say, knowledge has ceased, did you? That's the third thing. That's the tongues have ceased, is it? And knowledge will cease. Ain't no tongue has ceased. Is it tongues? I forget now. Tongues. Tongue has not ceased. It says tongues will. And then the next one, knowledge. Knowledge, crazy. Devil ain't going to answer. Knowledge has ceased. Knowledge has ceased. It says knowledge will cease as well, you see. Okay. Let me look at my phone. What time is it? 9:23. I got 30 minutes to jump on the spiritual deliverance ministry. Then you got the gift of miracles. Well, we know God would have you lay hands on somebody who got got bleeding or something like that, and you lay hands in them before the doctor can come or the ambulance come and this thing stop. Somebody lay. One leg was longer than the other, which I've seen in purpose. When the crippled man, and the Lord say, Pastor, call that young man up here. And he goes, what's wrong with him? One leg is longer than the other. And he said, sir, would you come up here? He said, what are you going to do? He said, sir, I know you think I'm crazy, but the Lord told me one leg is about 2 inches longer than the other. How do you know that, Pastor? The Lord just told me. And he want to heal you. Now come up here. So they get two chairs. And I saw that in person. Person sit in the chair and extend the legs to the other chair. And you can see where one leg was about 2 inches longer than the other one. And the Lord would pray for him. And guess, the pastor be praying for the man and obedience to the Holy Spirit. And you see that leg visibly grow to 2 inches extra. And the guy get up, he's not hollering. He's walking equally. One leg was stretched before the whole congregation. That still happens today, folks. We have his written word. And then he gave us the gift of faith, and he gave us the gift of tongues. And I say, when he gave us the gift of tongues, that's just God revealing, speaking to us. It's not us. When we say, he is speaking another language. Just like if I say, como se llama, and number one, tengo años, cuántos años tiene usted, huele la paloma, you know, like, what in the world is John saying? You see, I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm just speaking in a foreign language because it's a language that I know. Tongue is you speaking language that you do not know. But guess what? Who's hearing you know what you're saying because that's who God is speaking to. When you go, sometimes God will give you, sometimes God will bless you and say, what did he say? And God will turn around and then tell you what you just said. You say, hey, you just said to me in tongues, da 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 da. Okay? So he has plenty of gifts for us. And he gives, so to sum it up on, I'm worried about that time. What time is it now? 9:25. Lord have mercy. I got 30 minutes to talk about spiritual warfare. So again, the Holy Spirit give us the gift of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles. He gives us the gift of discernment. We can discern things. He gives us the gift of tongues. He gives somebody the gift of interpretation of tongues, okay? And he also known as what? The Spirit of Truth. The Bible says he's called the Spirit of Truth. Why? He comes to those who worship the Lord in spirit and truth. He's the Spirit of Truth. And he's our counselor. He will advise us rightly, okay? He's also called the Comforter, the Counselor. Why is he called the Comforter and the Counselor? Because he encourages and leads the believers. He helps and comforts us and as well as strengthens us. What did I just say? He leads us. He's our Comforter that will get us out of that problem we may have. He helps and comforts us as well as strengthens us. Also, he comforts us in difficult situations we be having. I say, I can't deal with those. I'm thinking about committing suicide. Don't do that because you go straight to hell. I just can't deal with them. I don't want to live no more. And you go talk to the Holy Spirit. He comforts us in difficult situations. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit will pray for you. He say, pray for me, Holy Spirit. I don't know what to say. So the Holy Spirit will pray to God the Father and God the Son on your behalf. The Holy Spirit will do that. Okay? And guess what? Finally, the Holy Spirit will remain with you forever, forever. So I want to close out just by saying with respect to this teaching that the Holy Spirit has been assigned to us. When we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, he came and dwelled within us. If we misuse our body in a way that we shouldn't be in a sinful manner, then he's out of there because our body is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to develop, and if you remember, nothing else I say, God wants us to develop and train our spirit, our Holy Spirit senses. In other words, learn, start concentrating on hearing the Holy Spirit. Now remember, you ain't going to hear nothing if you're playing games with it because you can't fool the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can tell you what you did last year, 10 years ago. The Holy Spirit can tell you what you're going to do 10 years from now. That's just how omnipotent they are, okay? So you can't jive the Holy Spirit, and you will hear him. If you're sincere, when you repent, say, you know, I'm sorry. And I said, you forgive me for all my sins, known and unknown, because you don't know the whole Bible. We've done hard, but that's the thing that violated the word. Okay? So he gave the church gifts, and he also gave the church what? The Holy Spirit. He gave us gifts to the church. He assigned some apostles. He assigned some as teachers. He gave the church deacons. He gave the church helpers. He gave the church administrators. And then he also gives some people the gift of encouragement where a person can lose a leg, but a person with that gift of encouragement can have that person praising the Lord by the time he gets to talking to that person. And then he gives some persons the gift of comforting. No matter what your problem is, some person so gifted he woke up that person who was crying, and by the time that person meets this person, be thinking he just gave him or her $1 million. God bless you. That's only the gift of the Holy Spirit. The other subject I want to talk about, I didn't plan to stay on that long. Let me see, I got a 30 minutes to talk about deliverance ministry. All right, give me your ears now. We're talking about how we can fight demons, what are they all about, what kind of demons they are, what do they do, and these things. How can we defend ourselves against demons and these kinds of things? So let me get with it. First of all, before you deal with a demon, you got to, I'm going to try to slow down because I don't want to go too fast, but because I know you can't take notes. In fact, call some names of demons anywhere in the world. By the time you get figure out how to spell that demon's name, I done ran through about 100 paragraphs and I said about 1 million words. So I'm going to slow down some more and talk about them. I'm not going to give you the whole spill on demonology because that takes an hour and a half, and all I got is a half hour. So I'll just give what I think you should know. I'll give you the key things, and I'll make it succinct. First of all, the first thing I want to talk about is guidelines for dealing with demons. You just don't tell me, come out of that person, come out of that man, and all this kind of junk. First of all, in my training with Brother Emmett and my daughter, God called her, her nickname is Gun Gangster, because she can talk to demons and they run when they see her coming, because God gave her that anointing. Gave it to Brother Emmett, and she's his sidekick, and she knows those demons inside out. She, when they speak, she know who they are. She know how to handle them, and she can hear the Holy Spirit tell them what to do. You don't get up and call yourself a fight or expel somebody from a demon in your own flesh or in your own mind. No, you have to take guidance from the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me say this. Guidelines for dealing with demons, and I had to write it down until I can remember it, you know, because I'm still learning about demons and stuff like that. But number one, say you pray for discernment. You got to know how to deal with that Holy Spirit. Remember, I mean, with that devil. When you go to do an exorcism or whatever, if God called you to that ministry or whatever, remember, it's not you doing it. You had to talk to the Holy Spirit. You don't go facing a demon dying in a cell telling them, come out in the name of Jesus, these kind of things. Remember, confer with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Sometimes you ask that demon, what his name, the demon said, you figure it out. You figure it out. You know, the Holy Spirit will tell you what that demon, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say and what to do. Don't you sit up there and face a man or woman who possessed with an evil demon who can put some hurting on you. You follow the guidelines of the Holy Spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit help you do exorcism in casting people who need demons out of them. Okay, number one, you got to pray for discernment. That's when you're talking to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what should I do? Don't you walk down there in that basement, wherever you go to that person's house, tell them, I command you to do this, and I command you to do that. Come out now. No, don't work that way, the Holy Spirit. I mean, the devil goes, command to do is crazy. You don't know what he's talking about. You know, because the Holy Spirit's supposed to take. See, that's what the Holy Spirit comes to. The Holy Spirit will walk you through and carry you through a deliverance session, okay? It's not what you think, how you should say it, and what tools you need, what hammers and what guns you need. It's the Holy Spirit will tell you what you should know and what condition you should be in before you walk up there talking about come out, demon. That demon look at you and say, who are you telling me to come out? Now, you ain't nothing but a sinner. You ain't nothing but a whoremonger. You ain't nothing but a homosexual. You ain't nothing but a cheater. And you ain't nothing but a thief. You ain't nothing but a money out of the church. You shoplift, and you this, and you hate you. You hate white folks. You hate, but you tell me, the Holy Spirit, that demon know anything about you. It's called a familiar spirit. You can't tell no demon to come out of somebody if you got even a sin like lying. So you can't tell me what to do. You liar. Amen. Revelation. Revelation. I can't remember the verse right now, but it says that lies are going to hell. So guidelines for dealing with demons, you pray for discernment. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, to give you understanding and help you through it. And then you ask the Holy Spirit to help you recognize what symptoms they have, what kind of possession they have to deal with. Is it their health? Is it a mental condition, or what is it? And do not deal with situation alone. So when you're going to cast out a demon as a pastor or as an evangelist or whatever, you need to have someone with you, okay, always, not by yourself. And you got to recognize their tactics, or they're slick and tricky. And so when you start learning more, you don't learn overnight. It's like I've been sitting under Brother Emmett for about 10 years now trying to learn this the money stuff. Don't be afraid, because you walk in come off in the name of Jesus. That demon will laugh his butt all over that place. Keep your discovery confidential, because when somebody comes to you, want to be cast out with demons, they didn't get it for nothing. They did something. So when that person shared with you some personal how they got possessed with a demon, you keep it to yourself. Your child guesses, someone told me. Child guessed this. Guess what? No. That person told you that in confidence, okay? And do not be discouraged, because sometimes you get discouraged. You can tell that demon to come out, and the demon say, make me. What's your name? Figure it out. You know, that's how they talk to you, stuff like that, okay? So, and then you just ask God, before you face that demon, give you instructions on what to do and these kinds of things. Attributes of demons, listen at this. Before being cast out of heaven, demons had the same attributes as the good angels. In other words, they were holy angels that praise and worship the Lord. But they decided to follow Satan. When Satan got kicked out of heaven, he caused a third of the angels to follow him out of there like fools. Now remember, these demons are spirits. They are spiritual beings. They never die. It's like when we die from the flesh and we come out of our body and our spirit, we'll never die again because the spiritual being never died. All right? They are spirits. Those demons can speak to you and they deceive you. They believe in Jesus just like you do, but they're going to try to trick you so you can renounce Jesus. They end up going to hell and they can laugh at you and laugh at Jesus. And the Bible says those demons are smarter than mankind, okay? They demonstrate the tongue. When you be debating with them, you better be sure you're saying what the Holy Spirit telling you to say, because they'll chew you to pieces. You can't match demons intellectually. They're smarter than human beings. They've been around ever since the beginning of the world, remember? And then also, demons have emotions. They recognize who Jesus is. They tremble when they see Jesus. They have supernatural strength, these demons, and they are real, folks. Some are in prison. Those are real hardcore demons that did things they had no business doing, and they got thrown into hell. But there's a third of those angels that's with Satan. They patrol the earth trying to get people to backslide into sin, so when they die, they can stand in the funeral and laugh at Jesus while the pastor sitting over the casket, he's gone to a better place, and yeah, I'm going, and they'll be laughing his butt off, you know. And everybody say, yeah, she's gone because they don't know what he did behind their backs in the dark. And the pastor was saying, I couldn't lie to him. He's gone to a better place. All right. Attributes of demons. They have supernatural strength. They are eternal because the spirit don't die. It's like when we die from our flesh and our spirit can walk out, we'll never die again. We'll be living forever, either in heaven or hell. They have their own doctrine. They teach all kind of lies, you know. Like one is, tongues doesn't exist. They know that it hadn't existed. They don't want you to know about tongues because they know once you know about tongues is when you speak it in tongues, the Holy Spirit be talking to a person through you. You know, would you pray for me, Pastor? Sure. And then she said, wait a minute, Lord, you want to get that word, a personal word of comfort. And you go, hold, honey. The Holy Spirit won't speak to you. She said, I don't understand what you said. She said, hold up. And then the Lord would give that past interpretation. What I said was, it'd be right on the money. She said, that's exactly what my problem was, okay? So attributes of demons, they are eternal. They don't die no more, but they are spiritual demons. They have their own doctrine. Tongue has ceased. They got mankind because they know good and well when we speak in tongues, it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit preaching in the place of the pastor. He might start speaking in tongues ready for the congregation. And then somebody get up and tell everybody what the pastor said. Everybody just praising and jumping all over the place. They have their own, demons have their own doctrine. They are really evil. They can tempt people to do all kinds of things. And they can deceive people as well. Like that we have written word. That's how they deceive those who say that. But they don't know, because guess what? They're not doing it on purpose. They were taught that. We're going to go out and live our life according to what our mom and daddy taught us. When we go to math class and teach us the timetables and all that, we walk out of school saying 5 and 5 is 25, 5 times 5 is 25. We ain't going to say 5 times 5 is 60 because that's what we were not taught in school. So a lot of folks are teaching what they have been taught in school. So we can't tell them that they're hypocrites, they're wrong, they ought to go to hell. They're teaching what they've been taught. But there's nothing in learning and rethinking what was error and then turn it around. And God did me. Because I couldn't accept a lot of things, and the Holy Spirit told me. They can tempt you to do wrong. We're talking about demons. They can tempt you to do wrong. They can deceive us, you know, kind of thing. And they can oppress you, and they can bring the bondage of fear on you. And then, let me see, how many more minutes I got? How many more minutes I got, John? Oh, it's just 9:39. I don't have to quit until 10. Okay, let me tell you some more about demons. They are organized, folks. They're heavyweight organized. They're like a club. Some are called principalities. Some are called powers. Some are called rulers of the darkness. Some are called spiritual hosts of wickedness. Demons serve different functions. Now, listen at this. They serve many, many different functions, but I'm going to share four of them with you. Number one, demons serve a different function. They are evil spirits. And what do evil spirits do? They influence immoral acts. Y'all know what immoral acts are. Some people like just screw little children. and everything. Some people rape people, you know, and then kill them. I just drop them out there half dead in the woods somewhere. That's evil. They influence immoral acts. And then somebody might hold up a store, and the woman would give him all the money he needs, but he just feels the need that he could be recognized by her in the future, so he takes his gun and shoots the woman in the head. And the woman gave the young girl, 18, 19, or 20, gave the man everything he wanted, but he still shook her. That demon said, you better kill her because she'll recognize your face, you see. And so he thinks those his thoughts. Like I told you, every thought that comes in our head is not ours. It could be demonic. It could be the Lord. It could be the Holy Spirit. Or it could be your flesh. Or it could be a demon, see. And so when they roll up these stones and kill you, that's not them. That's the demon in them. Police going around killing these kids and standing on their head, sitting on it. That's demonic. Because they're so possessed with hatred and prejudice and everything else, they don't know they're being controlled by a demon. The man got a demon in him. He don't even know it. Got his hand on, got his foot on a man's neck. That's not human. That's demonic. You see? But people don't believe them. There ain't no such thing as demons. Yeah. That would cause that white man with his prejudiced demon to put his foot up on top back of that man's neck. That's demonic. All right? Demons are the evil spirits. They influence immoral acts. Guess what else? Number two, they're unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts. I don't know why I'm thinking that. Man, that's nasty. I ain't got nobody thinking about that. So on, so on. You know, especially some of the unclean thoughts. Look at that. I heard other men talking, look at that ass. Look at another man, and he's drooling. You know, and I go, my God, that's an unclean spirit in that person. They don't need it. Just like a lot of guys are called us and say, I want deliverance. I've been screwing faggots for the last 10 years. I've been screwing one or two of them a day. And my wife don't even know it. I said, you lucky you haven't given that woman AIDS yet. You know, and so Brother Emmett does deliverance and casts that demon and says, I ain't coming out. But that's Brother Emmett's primary position now. So he would rebuke that demon and cast that demon out. Unclean spirits induce unclean thoughts. Everything dirty and nasty you can think of, that's that demonic spirit called unclean spirit caused you to think about that. Okay? Then you got the third kind. You got spirits of infirmity. You know what infirmity means, sickness. Spirits of infirmity, they afflict the body. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm always sick. I just got to think, I'm always sick. I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't know why. My mom's well. Dad's well. My sister, brother, well. Why I'm always, that's because you're not living right. And you open the door to one of those demonic spirits that would afflict your body because you're using your body the wrong way. You're having sex. You're a man having sex with another man. You're a woman having sex with another woman. And like some men I learned when I was in the Army, some of those guys who come from the country were having sex with animals, like a cow or calf. I was shocked because I don't know when I heard it. I can't wait till I get home, man. I know my calf missed me. And these are guys talking about screwing a calf. So, and then the fourth one, deceiving spirits. They produce false doctrine. False doctrine is like tongues have seed. That's false doctrine. And many other things I can call and name, okay? But if whoever's saying that, they don't know. If your teacher taught you, if your mama taught you that blacks are stupid and ignorant, you would grow up as a white person believing that all blacks are ignorant and stupid, and you would hate them. You teach and preach what you're taught, depending on your background. We had one white guy told me, he said, I'm sorry, man, but that's all I heard from my mom and dad. You know, y'all stupid, ignorant, so on, so on, so on. And he thinking, he came and personally told us that he started, under his breath, he was calling us niggas. And we didn't even know it, you know. Deceiving spirits, they produce false doctrines, and they are cults, false teachers, and false Christs. Okay? Now, let me sum up these last four again. You have four types and they call, functions they do. You got evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. You have unclean spirits, they induce unclean thoughts. Then you have spirits of infirmity. We know what infirmity means. They afflict your body. You can't figure out why are you always sick? Why does this always happen to you? Don't happen to your sister, but it always happened to me. Always happened to me. I'm always sick, you know. Check your lifestyle out because you probably open the door to a spirit of infirmity. They're going to make you sick as long as you live. And then you got deceiving spirits. They produce false doctrines. False doctrines. You know, and come up with false lies. I'm this now. This is my title. Yes, 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 yes. I'm a this now. God didn't care about me. And do what the devil want to do, get you all full of pride. And everybody know who knows scripture say what? Pride's come full fall, right? You're in the back going, I got these, and I got those, and I got this, and I have these. Look at me, look at me. You know? Mm-hmm. And the devil goes, keep it up, keep it up. And that's why you're going to lose your love for the Lord. You're going to be thinking more about how prestigious, how powerful you are, and all the degrees you have and everything. Remember earlier, I said, the Holy Spirit said, God can care less about your degrees. He wants you to follow him, soul, body, and spirit. He just said, go get doctor's degrees, master's degrees, college degrees. That's good to have those education. Ain't nothing wrong with it. The more educated you get, the better you can minister to your people. Don't get me wrong. I wish I had a doctor's degree, but I got tired. I got happy with the master. I said, I'm tired of going to school. But if I had the energy, I would have gone on. It's nice to have somebody call me Dr. Durden. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. Because that shows that you love your congregation and you want to learn everything you can about that Bible so you can give relevant and good information to your congregation. So my hat's off to those who have their doctorate degrees. It's amazing because that took a whole lot of studying and a whole lot of teaching and a whole lot of going to school at night and stuff like that, a lot of homework and a lot of tests. It took a lot to get them doctorate degrees. Okay, so remember, demons have different functions. Some are evil spirits, some are unclean spirits, some are spirits of infirmity, some are deceiving spirits and these kinds of things. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit about what time I got. How many more minutes I got? Oh, I got 15 more minutes. How they attack Christians, how they fool you and deceive you. I got a few things down here. Demons attack us in different ways in carrying out Satan's plan. Guess what they are? They quote scriptures wrongly. That's what demons do. That's how they get Christians. They teach their own doctrines. They teach you a bunch of lies like, well, Jesus is not the Son of God. There's only one God. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's some theologians out there that just teach that there's God. You know, such things, God the Son, God the Father. Then there's some who believe in God the Father and God the Son, but they don't believe in God the Holy Spirit, you see. You got to figure out who you're sitting there under and what you believe, okay? And then you got some churches say, there's no sin if a man marry another man and a woman marry another woman. They don't even know the Bible. You know why? Because they have a homosexual lesbian relationship going on in their own personal life. That's what that's all about. So they quote scriptures. They teach their own doctrines. They can transform themselves into angels of light. You know, you might see this woman, hey, child, you're doing God bless you and everything else. And you thinking that person out to help you and say, you need to come go to my church. But I love it. That pastor's good. Honey, he just blessed his socks off and so on, so on, so on, so on, so on. And then you go there and kind of find out that man don't know God, Jesus, or anything else. He's up there just talking a bunch of junk. And then these demons, and they encourage evil men to prevent righteousness. In other words, that person, okay, just a so-called Christian man, so-called Christian man. I'm not using titles like preacher, evangelist, and all that anymore. I'm leaving that out. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm just talking about a person, okay? They will encourage a person to pervert righteousness, you know, stealing, robbing, raping, masturbating, all these kinds of things. Then you got some demons that tempt people to lie all the time. You know, you can't stop lying. They also tempt people with pride. That's one of the main ones. Because every time somebody talks to Brother Him and I, the first thing is, how many degrees do you have? That's the first question come out of their mouth. And then I say, well, I have 3 master's degrees. And he said, well, I have a doctorate degree. You know what that means? And then this would pee me off. I go, no, sir. What does that mean? That you have a doctor's degree and I have just master's degree. That means that I am higher than you. Boy, I just feel sorry for that joke. I said, you poor sucker. That means I'm higher than you. Maybe higher than me as far as education, but not spiritually, brother. Not spiritually. Because when they say that, the Lord tell me, oh, he's having a relationship with a homosexual. God would tell me. And be sure you teach right tonight because I did a thesis on demonic deliverance. I wrote many books on that. And so you watch what you say because I'm listening, boy. That's what they say to me. You know? I said, sir, And then the Lord said, don't say that. He's lying. He ain't wrote no book on no demon house. You don't know about no deliverance. You know, these kinds of things.
Nine minutes.
Thank you. And the last three types I want to share, the last one is called, you got spirits of infirmity and you got seducing spirits. The first one is spirits of infirmity. This is kind of spirits that afflict the bodies, okay? Do everything that they can to harm your body. That's the spirit of infirmity. Then the second one, you got seducing spirits. These seducing spirits made you believe in a bunch of lies, you know, like Jesus is not God. You know, you don't have to keep the Sabbath day holy. You don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. And then you have unclean spirits. Unclean spirits, they afflict your soul and nature. They are immoral. They cause you to do immoral acts. Unclean thoughts, have unclean thoughts and temptations. Okay, so the last type is spirits of infirmity. They afflict your body, okay, cause you have all kinds of sickness. Then you got seducing spirits. They afflict the person, seducing him or her to believe doctrinal lies, you know, like, you know, such things as tongues. Tongues has seeds and all kinds of stuff. And there's no Trinity. There's only God the Father. They know God, the Son, God, the Holy Ghost. They are very deceptive. And then the unclean spirit, they have you doing all kinds of responsible or immoral acts and unclean thoughts. And I thank you for giving me an opportunity to share this with you. And maybe I can go in more detail at another time because there's still a whole lot you need to know about demonic demons. Because you need to know how demons gain access in you. And there's many ways how they can gain control of you, your thoughts and your body and so forth, and how they can gain access into you. God bless you. And I hope you have a wonderful evening, what's left of it. And I look forward to sharing with you again someday. So be blessed. God bless you.
Stay online, brother. Don't hang up, Brother John. Don't hang up. If you hang up, you'll knock everybody off. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you an excerpt of some real exorcisms. Hang tight. To entice us. Stand by. Hang on, Dr. Webbington. Going in my archives. Stand by, please. Hang on. Wait 1 minute. Stand by for commercial, please.
Hi, my name is Sister Yuka Nakatsuka. I'm a staff of Fellowship Deliverance Internet Radio Station. If you have a friend or family member who only can speak Japanese, please tell them to send me an email at address is j.yuka6@gmail.com. J as in Japan, Yuka is Y-U-K-A. Again, j.yuka6@gmail.com. We are happy to minister to Japanese people. 皆さん、こんにちは。こちらはフェローシップデリバランスインターネットラジオステーション、シスターユカです。いつもメッセージを聞いてくださってありがとうございます。家族やお友達で日本語しか話せない、またはメッセージを聞いて質問や意見がある方は、こちらの方へメッセージを送ってください。アドレスは j.yuka6@gmail.com です。 皆さんから、メッセージが来ることを待っています。皆様にいつもイエス様の祝福と恵みがあることをお祈りしています。
Okay, that's for our Japanese. I had somebody in here from Japan. We got like 9 people from Japan. And I'm going to send that tab to you. Hang on, wait 1 minute. Got a lot of people that's asking for requests. This request is not being known tonight. Okay, this is a live exorcism of Apostle Candace Durden and Brother Emmett Overton. I hope that you can be blessed by it.
Ask that the power of the Holy Spirit come during this exorcism. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, yet Michael the Archangel, when contempting about the body of Moses, does not bring in a real accusation, that said, Satan, the Lord, rebuke you. We ask for angelic angels through this deliverance, and that the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, whichever Holy Ghost that you want to use to come in operation, we are free to follow and submit to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Did everyone hear
right.
the demon
in the name
amen.
Of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Brother Tiro, go down. Brother Tiro, go down. All spirits of anger, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth command you to come to the mouth gate. Anger.
What?
No growling is permitted
by order of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Just
in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Who do you report to?
Peter, by order of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who do you report to? You are not permitted to growl by order of Jesus Christ of
Nazareth. Reverend Dalton, calm down now. Calm down, Reverend Dalton.
Anger, to whom do you report?
You want to learn this. Calm down, can't handle fear. This is real. Reverend Dalton, this is real.
Anger, to whom do you report? To whom do you report? Speak now by order of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Not me, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. To whom do you report? To whom do you report? We release the fire of God against you now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's not bring against him a railing accusation, but the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth compel you to answer the question. We please.
All right, Reverend Dykemore, I'll answer the question. We're going to have this next time Brother John come in. We're going to give you a touch of it. Reverend Dilmore says, Brother John, who's that lady that's doing the exorcism? I'll let Brother John speak for himself. Reverend Dilmore said, who is that woman?
That's my daughter, Candace. God, I've known her ever since she was 7 years old. And God had me to personally teach my daughter that Bible from the time she was 7 to the time she left home to go to Wake College. I told her the commandments, the Beatitudes, the whole 9 yards, all the gospel folks and everything else. And she got saved when she was 7 years old. And her brother, who was 2 years younger, 5, he got saved when he was 5 years old. And they both walked through ministry with the Lord. I taught them personally the word of God. And they loved the Lord. And even worshiped and served him all their life. All their life. And that's her anointing. I didn't know what she's going to be. She didn't know either. And God called her into the deliverance ministry. And I said, what? And at the time, I knew about demons, but I wasn't very familiar and knowledgeable like I know now. And I was kind of afraid of my daughter. But she hung in there, and the Holy Spirit said, I got her back. Just be cool. I had to be cool. And God taught her everything about it. She knows those demons, their names. She knows how to deal with them. She knows what to say.
And we got a question.
The Holy Spirit.
We got a question from Dr. Piltman. He says, make it straight for the record, Brother John. Make it straight for the record, and I'll believe you. Are you writing Passovers and sermons? Just come with it, and I can accept it.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may he strike me down dead if I'm lying. No. God is telling me what to say, sir. He don't have to write sermons. He's get there. Many times he'd call me and say, Brother John, you know, I suppose teaching 5 or 10 more minutes. I say, yeah, no, I got my thing on to hear you. He said, but I don't know what I'm going to say. And I go, what you mean? Because I'm not used to that. You know, I hear that, buddy, every other day. I don't know what I'm going to preach about. I said, don't you know by now the Lord, the Holy Spirit is telling you what it is. Sometimes Jesus is telling him what to say. And the Holy Spirit is telling him what to say. So when he's speaking, he's repeating what they tell him. And that's the gospel truth. Like I said, may God strike me down dead if I'm lying on. I'm not going to get God's glory. If I say, yeah, I'm writing, then I'm taking the glory from God. God is the one that's telling me what to say. I'm not going to lie to build myself up. Hey, an example. Matthew, Mark, and John, fishermen, right? He didn't use the theologians. He used those men because they were full of God. They loved the Lord and everything else. And whenever they, in the gospel, the Holy Spirit told them what to say. The Holy Spirit told them what to say. All that and preaching, all that ministry. They were
so
following the leading of the Holy Spirit.
You heard what he said. Now, next time Chaplain Durden will speak, we're going to let you hear the whole entire exorcism of this guy from Finland. And that's Candace Durden, Apostle Candace Durden. And she's been with me 14 years. I was ordained by Brother John Durden. And we're going to close with some excerpts of exorcism for 5 minutes. We're going to see you next Tuesday when Pastor John Durden teaches. We're going to add this other series onto it, the Real Exorcism Live.
Hello, I'm Don Daler, and this is 2020 In Touch. Although it's not talked about openly today, exorcism is practiced by the Catholic Church almost daily somewhere in the world. Elizabeth Vargas travels to Rome, where there is a growing demand for the ritual of exorcism.
Hold it, hold it.
Oh, no!
Leave.
No!
Exactly.
No!
Leave.
It is something this Los Angeles woman, seen in the documentary Satan Unmasked, says brought her peace. It is something a woman behind these glass doors in Italy hopes will save her. Exorcism, the casting out of demons through ritual prayer, is practiced in many faiths. It is most often associated with one, Roman Catholicism.
Exorcism has deep roots in Catholic tradition when performed by priests given special permission by their bishops. The number of priests approved to perform exorcisms has grown with demand. Here in Italy, about 2 decades ago, there were 20 approved priests to perform exorcisms. Today, there are 350.
Last month, Father Frank Desiderio, an executive producer of Polish Productions, was in Rome interviewing exorcists for the documentary Satan Unmasked. They spoke with Father Gabriele Amorth, who was for years the chief exorcist at the Vatican.
I average 10 or 12 exorcisms a day, about 3,000 exorcisms a year. Now multiply that by 21 years, and it's more than 60,000 exorcisms.
Some time ago in this Litchfield home, wife and mother Pat Redding felt as if she were possessed by evil spirits. She went through a series of 16 exorcisms, witnessed firsthand by her daughter Michelle.
When you see the person that you love being attacked by something invisible, so heinous and so disgusting, you will look for anything to stop it.
The situation started, says Michelle, with strange banging noises in their home. It moved on to a mysterious overturning of all their furniture, and eventually to attacks on Pat Redding from an invisible force.
It would rip her hair out. There'd be plenty of witnesses, and it'd rip it right out of her scalp. An invisible force. She'd scream, she'd jerk backward. I'd turn around, she'd be in pain, of course, she would panic. she cry? She was shocked. And did she have actual physical marks on her body?
Absolutely.
And they couldn't have been self-inflicted?
No. Bite marks on her back. She would end up with black and blue marks in the most bizarre places that she wouldn't have been able to do herself.
Fearful and bewildered, the family turned to a team of paranormal investigators led by John Zaffis, who is now writing a book on the case.
We have what we...
Okay, if anybody can listen to me, please go to see the movie The Conjuring. I just got through talking to the original owner. She is still alive. Her husband passed away. Finally, the Lord has opened up doors to meet, allow me to meet people that's been in this demonology for about 40 years. And the movie The Conjuring, the lady who experienced it, I have her site. This is for advanced no babies in Christ. Don't be coming on this. I'm not saying none of that. For babies in the Lord, this ain't for you. I'm talking about mature people who have been walking in the Lord and in the deliverance ministry over 10 years. The website is NESPR, Official Ed and Lorraine Warren Channel. They have done thousands of exorcisms, and they happen to be Roman Catholic, but they know how to cast out demons. And they have an occult museum of all the demonic memorabilia that they have, and they allow tell people don't touch them. Any demonic device that's old, please don't touch. Let me give you a clip of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Secrets of the Supernatural. Before we start our program tonight, I'd like to talk, if I may, just for a moment about someone who was close to Ed, to Lorraine, and myself. A young man, 26 years old, who was a student of Ed and Lorraine's, who was a psychic investigator, lived in a little town of Edina, Minnesota. He touched many people. He came to our Halloween program that we held back on October 27th. He's been involved in many, many cases throughout the United States with us. He's written for the New England Society for Psychic Research Journal. We lost this man Monday evening, November 11th, at age 26. His name is Daniel Berg. He's a friend of mine, he's a friend of Ed's, and a friend of Lorraine's, and we're going to miss him. But someday I hope that myself and Ed and Lorraine will see Daniel Berg on the other side. So with this somber opening, I'd like to start and talk about something that has hope to it, hope for us all. It's about miracles. Can the supernatural realm perform miracles? Well, can God perform a miracle? The answer is yes, positively. Tonight we're going to start with Ed, if we could, and talk about miraculous miracles. Ed, if you could start, please.
Well, you know, a lot of people would say to Lorraine and I, and even you, Tony, can you prove there's such a thing as the supernatural? Well, of course we could. In fact, we proved that in a court of law in 1990, right here in the United States. But I think the best proof that you could possibly give people would be miraculous miracles. Whether you're a Catholic or Christian, whatever you are, this is scientific proof that such a thing as an invisible realm of the supernatural does exist, that God does exist. For instance, you know, up in Canada, a small man by the name of Brother Andre, he only stood probably 5'1", small in stature, but big in spirit, huge in spirit. This man was known as the Keeper of the Door in Montreal, Canada, at Mount Royal. And for 50 years, he just kept that little building, a little chapel, cleaned up and ready for the masses in the morning. There's a statue which has been dedicated to him. And I myself I know about miraculous miracles through this man, but I'd like to just tell a little bit about him first. He was instrumental in the building of St. Joseph's Offertory.
Where if you went there today, you would see hundreds of crutches.
That is Ed and Lorraine Warren, the Conjurers Part 1, 2, and 3. They have met many cases of the supernatural. Demons are real. And we're going to explore that more when we come back. God bless everyone. I want to thank Chaplain John Durden for his time. This session is now over.